Loveline, coast to coast.
Yep, it is the Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew?
Yes.
Oh, there you are. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew is a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist. Tonight we have as our guest, Jay McGraw is here. Jay has been on the show before. He's the author of Life Strategy for Teens. You may know his pop, Phil McGraw, who's often seen on Oprah. Where Drew will be tomorrow. Is that right?
That's right. I'm in Chicago tonight.
Oh, cool.
And you're doing Oprah tomorrow morning.
Right. Early.
Yeah. Really? What time?
I mean, I have to get there like 5 o'clock. Are your time?
Are you kidding me?
No, I know. I thank God I'm not with you. Okay, imagine the whining. Oh, God, the humanity.
5 o'clock, I'd be whining.
And how
No, really, Adam carries on like you can't, like an infant.
Yeah, Jay, I'll give you whining. I should write a book called Strategies for Whining.
Yeah, Whining 101.
Then first off, is wake me up at 5 a.m. I'll start whining.
All right. Well, I can see you're gonna be an easy student, Drew.
Yeah.
You're going to be on Oprah tomorrow.
Well, they're filming it tomorrow. I really don't know when they're airing it.
Well, do they air the same day?
I don't, Adam, I've not been there yet. I've just arrived here a couple hours ago.
Phil McGraw here is here. And, you know, Phil McGraw, who's a therapist, sounds just that name and the guy's physique. He's a big guy. He's much more a relief pitcher than a therapist.
You're right, yeah.
Phil McGraw.
I think middle linebacker.
Yeah, middle linebacker, yeah. Or one of those crazy angry relief pitchers who gets himself all psyched up behind the mound and then pulls his hat down and turns.
That works.
Jay, have you been on Oprah?
No, I have not.
Why? How come your dad hasn't gotten you on Oprah?
Well, I mean, he's asked, but I don't want to do Oprah. I'd rather do this.
Jay's been on Mars.
Did you hear that, Drew?
I know, I'm laughing too. But
this kid's got a sense of humor.
Jay's been on Mars Venus.
Oh, yeah, but right. Who cares? I'm just talking about Oprah. That's nothing. You've been on Mars Venus. That's nonsense.
What are you talking about tomorrow, Drew?
There's a theory now that 20-somethings are getting into a crisis. They're calling a quarter-life crisis.
Oh, yeah?
So that's a sort of a population I've been talking to for a lot of years. And Adam and I have been going to colleges for the last couple of years. And we know a little about what's going on with them interpersonally. And now they're sort of complaining about their careers not being sort of exactly what they expected them to be, not living up to their expectations. And it's really all the same stuff. I mean, they all have this. It's the same issues coming to bear in their interpersonal worlds that now are coming to bear in their careers. Same stuff we talk about on Loveline.
It's going to be just as fascinating as Drew just explained it. All right, Drew, you ready to take some calls?
Yeah, let's go.
All right. Adam, you're 19. What's up?
I cheated on my girlfriend when I went to a party. And now the girl that I cheated on my girlfriend with, she's pregnant.
Adam, how old are you? How old are you?
How old am I? 19.
Right. Okay. Now, you don't believe him, Drew?
I just get a vibe. And notice when I ask the question, it's, how old am I? Right.
That's something you don't forget.
You know what I like about Jay? He's a real smart ass. He fits right in here. All right, so you got the girl you cheated with pregnant, allegedly. And now, how do you know she's pregnant?
I've seen test results.
What test?
Well, she did that pregnancy test thing.
Hey, Adam, I got to warn you about something. It's like every 19-year-old girl that is at all like messed up in any way thinks they're pregnant at some point in their life. I think it's just a trend. They all think they're pregnant, so watch out for that.
Well, he saw the test, but what was the test, Adam?
It was the pregnancy test.
All right, hold on. Drew, I'm kind of with you on this one.
Completely. I could tell. He's not 19, and he made it up.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, no, let me just talk to him. Should I talk to him and get him to admit it?
No, it's going to Chris.
All right. Wow, Drew, that's tough. I mean, it's not exactly like he folded or anything.
All right, put the Chris on hold. Let's go back and see if I'm right.
He's just a little slow on the draw, that's all.
I don't think so.
Adam?
Not slow enough.
Listen, we won't hold it against you if you tell us you're making this up.
I'm not making it up.
What's the girl's name you cheated with?
Well, I don't know exactly what her name is.
All right. Look, you don't know the name of the girl you had sex with who showed you the pregnancy test? All right. I'm with lying now. Thanks, Drew. Chris?
Yeah, what's up, guys?
You're 18.
Yeah.
And look, call the show and BS. I don't care. Just have your ducks in order. Go ahead, Chris.
Good BS, right?
I don't know the name of the girl. Jesus Christ. Go ahead, Chris.
Drew, I've heard you go on, you know, on and on about how LSD and all the bad things it can do you, but I've never heard you say anything about PCP.
Yeah, you know, I haven't talked about that much, and I don't really have an opportunity to treat too many people who use a lot of PCP. I've certainly seen my fair share over the years. And PCP, most of the problem with PCP is during the periods of use. It makes people very disorganized. It can make people depressed. It's a dissociative, so people get sort of out-of-body kind of experiences, and they can do all sorts of crazy stuff when they're under the influence. And when they stop using, often their cognition is impaired, too. They just don't think clearly. But mostly, for the most part, in my experience, a lot of that, if not all of it, clears up in a few months.
We're talking about angel dust, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And is that not in vogue anymore, Drew?
It is. I have one patient that was severely addicted to it, and I wasn't even clear that it was an addictive drug per se, but this woman really, really used a lot and couldn't stop and relapsed multiple times. And, you know, it's just not out there that much. People occasionally use it as a way of bridging into other drugs, but it's not as powerfully addictive as some of the other ones. But it is in the hallucinogenic category, so I would expect to see what we call excitotoxicity, which is these neurons dropping out as a result of being overstimulated in a certain biological way, which is what LSD does, which is what certainly speed does, and perhaps PCP does.
All right. Well,
is it a whole lot worse than LSD? I mean, will it hurt you anymore?
I would say not. I would say not. Ecstasy is actually quite a bit worse.
All right. Okay. Well, why don't you not do it anyway, Chris?
Yeah. Are you choosing a drug here, Chris?
No, I was thinking about it, but I was thinking about jumping the gap and going on to that.
You think about jumping past PCP and going straight to LSD?
I've done that.
Oh, okay.
You know what? I'm seeing a lot of ketamine again now, and ketamine to me is very similar to PCP in terms of how it clinically affects people.
Okay.
To Special K, ketamine.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
Don't do the drugs. Come on, buddy.
I try not to.
Okay. Right. I mean, you know, it's not something you should be wrestling with too much at 18. Save that for the older folks.
Yeah, but it's easy to get a hold of.
All right. Well, you know what? You can get dog ass pretty easily, too. You can just go down to the park, go down on a Sunday. I like to go later in the afternoons after a lot of dogs have done their business.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. It's abundant. It's virtually free.
Take a little steak with you.
That's right. Okay, Drew, where are we going here?
We're going here.
Claire?
Yes.
You're 15. What's up?
Spit it out, Claire.
I'm sorry. I was diagnosed with a venereal disease approximately 3 to 4 weeks ago.
Okay. And, which one? Which one?
Oh, genital warts.
Okay.
And I was wondering, I've done research on it and everything, and everywhere that I've looked, it hasn't stated if it's...
Hold on.
I like
Drew,
that.
Jay,
that
nice I do, move. But when is the last time you did that as a speech pattern? You know when you're a kid...
My daughter does it.
Yeah, it's a kid thing. Like, you start spazzing out because you breathe the wrong way.
It
takes you a while to learn how to breathe and talk. Like, you know when you're a kid, you go like this. You go, I had genital warts. The doctor diagnosed me, and I want to know if it's contagious to my partner because he's not wearing a condom. But if he wears a condom, should he wear a latex condom? And then once in a while you screw up, and in order to sort of wipe the slate clean, you do that blah.
That was too many words trying to come out all at once.
Right. Blah. Okay,
Claire,
so.
All
right, well, Claire, let's go with the facts. I mean, this is one of the most common sexually transmitted diseases there is.
Yeah.
Certain subsets of those virus, we believe actually causes cervical cancer in women.
Yes.
So it becomes now extremely important that you get very regular pap smears. It is not curable. It is treatable, and the more that you control the viruses, theoretically, the less contagious you are, although you could always be contagious even when you don't have the warts present, okay? Mm-hmm. But in a certain percentage of cases, after about 3 to 5 years, it will go away by itself. The ones that don't go away are thought to be the ones that are most likely to cause the cervical cancers.
Okay.
Be that as it may, you should consider yourself contagious all the time. How did you get that at 15?
Blah.
That's no, how she picks them all up.
I got it, I was probably noticing signs of it in January. So I got it at 15.
Had something to do with the Christmas season? I mean,
yeah, what happened?
No.
A stocking stuffer.
Nice. No, but I also have another question.
Yeah. Do you have an answer to our
question?
Hey,
Claire?
Yes, sir.
Let me explain something. Your friends are stupid, but we're not. Drew said to you about 20 minutes ago, how did you get AIDS at 15? How did you get warts at 15? You told us for a few minutes how you got it at 15, and then you moved on to the next question.
Oh, how did I get it? No. I'm sorry. Totally misunderstood you. Having sex.
All right.
A little boyfriend? Boyfriend? Multiple partners?
No. It was one guy, and when I had told him, he had totally thrown this back in my face and blamed it on me. But he comes from a prominent Jewish family.
How old is he?
He is 16.
Wow. Prominent Jewish family getting laid at 16.
Yeah,
that's like a Gentile getting laid at 11. It really is.
He claims that he was a virgin when he had slept with me.
Oh,
however,
boy.
He's in a long relationship with a girlfriend, and I think that's just a bunch of BS.
Okay. How were the genital warts how were they diagnosed, Claire?
I saw physical signs of it, and I knew it wasn't normal, so I went to the doctor.
And they definitely saw it?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, Claire?
Yes.
Good luck.
No.
Good times. Oh, no.
Claire, what's the question?
Oh, boy.
I don't think that he will go to the doctor, and I don't think that he'll get it treated, and I was wondering if it's a good idea to come up to his house and talk to his parents and
idea, Claire. Stay away from him.
Yeah. Well,
last time you hung around, you got venereal warts.
You may get crabs if you see him again.
He gave it to my best friend. And
well, tell her to stay away from him.
I really don't want him to go off and give it to 40 different other girls.
It's an interesting question, Claire. It really is an interesting ethical question. I don't think you have responsibility to make sure he takes care of himself. I'll tell you, in men, it really has no real implications. It doesn't cause any problems in the men unless they get it around their anus, and then it tends to cause anal cancer.
Good times.
When they get a lot of rain, good time.
So, well, wait a minute, though.
But how to get him to stop?
This guy gave it to your best friend, too?
Mm-hmm. Because I didn't know that they had anything going until I confided in her, and she had started crying and said that she had slept with him, too.
This, not since Jeff Goldblum has a Jew got so much tail.
True.
This is an amazing story. Claire, I really think now, I mean, I know, and the guy broke your heart, too, right?
Yes. At first he did. He led me on to believe. And then
he broke your heart. That's fine. You're 15. Look, there's no shame in that, especially as a woman. You women shouldn't have any shame in that. You're 15. You meet a guy. You become enamored with him. You sleep with him. Maybe he takes your virginity, and then he dumps on you. Of course, that hurts. It breaks your heart, and you're angry at him, and you probably like to get back at him. And this is not the way to do it. But on the other hand, if this guy's spreading his warts all over the valley, maybe something should be done.
Yeah, it's an interesting question.
And I think something should, because if he gives it to somebody, especially a 15-year-old, this is something they have to live with their entire life.
That is, that's right. But you have to ask yourself, what's going to happen if I go do something about this? And you have to play that out the entire way through the situation, because it will also affect your life in a lot of ways. Everybody's going to find out. I mean, you don't get venereal warts from sitting real close to each other at the movie theater.
Yeah.
You're going to be telling a lot of people what you've been doing with this guy. So you got to think of all the repercussions of bringing it into
public. All right, here's the plan. I have the plan. Are you ready, Claire?
I'm definitely ready.
Okay. You and your friend who got the warts, you need to send this guy a little letter, maybe even some documentation from the doctor. And you say, look, we both got warts, and we both got it from you. So here's what you need to do. You need to see a doctor. And we will give you a couple of weeks to do this. But if you do not, we're going to start telling people because you are a danger.
Adam, him seeing a doctor is not going to prevent him from spreading.
He may not be aware of it.
He may not believe it.
I just want him to get it treated.
Well, he can't.
Well, there may not be a treatment, Claire. Adam has warts and he won't get them treated.
Hold on. Hold on a second.
Yeah, hold on while I move my chair.
How dare. Hold on. I didn't get that out right. How dare you Drew, I made $100.
I beg your pardon.
I made $100 from you because you dumped vinegar on my penis and shined a black light on it on the radio and found nothing.
Suspicious.
How dare? Oh, how dare you? You wouldn't have paid that $100 if you thought for 1 second there was a wart on my Johnson.
All right. But let's put it this way: it certainly didn't slow you down any.
Who, me?
The fact that I was suspicious didn't send you magically running for treatment and.
What do you mean suspicious? There's nothing on my penis. I've never had a wart in my life.
Suspicious.
How dare you?
You're gonna hear from my
attorneys as soon as I get them. Zach,
hello.
You're 18.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, me and my girlfriend. This was Saturday. We were having sex, and well, I noticed she was grunting, but I didn't really like say anything to her while we were doing it. And I took her home, and I went back. And I went back home, and there was feces in my bed.
Yeah, maybe your dog jumped up there.
Well.
Hey, Zach?
Zach, what are you doing?
Zach? I think that was a bogus call, Drew.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
Nice job, Damien. Let's talk to Santos over here, who's 18.
Hello. Hi, Dr. Drew. You guys, Dr. Drew and Adam, you guys are the best. You guys,
you're gay.
Thank you.
No, wait. No, please don't hang up.
We're not hanging up.
Okay. No, I know it sounds gay, but like, come on, guys. I mean, I should. You know what? Never mind. Well, here's my problem.
Yes,
I sniffed glue when I was 13, and
13?
Now I'm 18, right?
Yes.
So, like, and it's good right now. I'm slow to comprehend the stuff, you know. And my question is, if that has to do anything with what's happening to me right now?
Well, here's the deal with glue: is that the inhaled hydrocarbons, which a lot of people do these days, is unbelievable. People sniff gasoline in the glue. It tends to basically dissolve the frontal lobes of your brain, which is a little different than what, say, ecstasy and speed does, which is destroys the limbic system, the emotional centers of the brain. This is the cognition and sort of personality aspects of your brain, and it could do that. I've never seen it do that in an 18-year-old.
Well, let me, Drew, let me chime in for a second. Was it worse to smell it between the age of, 13, 14, and 15?
Yes, that's the worst.
That's worse.
That's the worst.
And if you do it at 19, 20, 21, not as bad?
It is. All of these neurotoxic chemicals clearly are much more disruptive under the age of 16. Okay? So you hit a sweet spot there, Santos, in terms of when you were doing this. And yet could affect your learning. Of course it could. It could be brain damaging. But
maybe
you're
dumb.
Still, he deserves
the benefit
of learning. Well, he deserves an evaluation to see if he has some pre-existing learning disability. Maybe you have some kind of ADD or some other kind of learning problem, which many addicts, alcoholics have. I don't know if you're an addict also, but... You know, certainly that could be part of the problem here.
Santos?
Yeah.
How long did you sniff glue for?
For about a month.
Yeah, it's not that much.
And here's the reason, though. Here's the reason. I was getting beat up by a bunch of bullies. Okay.
Mm, right.
I didn't have nobody to talk to, you know. And my mom, well, she was not really. We were not like talking to each other like every day. We would, you know, hardly talk to or like eat together like once a week or something like that.
Yeah.
That's quite the main reason I did that.
All right. What kind of glue was it? Like model glue?
What do you call the thing that you put to the furniture so it can like shine?
Oh yeah, it's like lacquer.
Varnish,
yeah.
But Santos, you know, that's the reason most people use drugs. They're trying to regulate their emotional world.
All
they're
right.
trying to feel better, trying to escape something unpleasant.
Hey, Santos, are you doing something else now?
No, sir. No, oh. I've never done pot. I've never smoked pot.
All right. Hey, Santos, this 1 month didn't turn you into an idiot. Believe me. And I'm sure you're not. But maybe you have some sort of learning disability. I mean, look, I was a horrible student. I couldn't memorize anything. I couldn't read. I couldn't write. It wasn't because I sniffed anything. It's just because I was stupid, you know? Maybe you're just dumb. I mean, you got to look on the bright side. So what are you doing now? Have you graduated high school?
I'm graduating June 21st from Newport Harbor High.
All right. From where?
Newport Harbor High.
Newport Harbor.
Oh, okay. Where are you? It sounded like a couple of racial slurs in there.
Yeah, it was a freshman. Hit the button.
Where are you? Where do you come from originally, Santos?
I come from Mexico, from a state called Michoacan. And which I should send.
Okay, you have an interesting accent. Doesn't just sound like a Mexican accent.
Really?
Yeah, it's interesting sounding.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, all right, no problem. All right, so listen, you're bilingual, right?
Yeah.
Sure as hell hope you're bilingual. Yeah. All right, so you speak two languages at 18. That's pretty good.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, a lot of guys can't do that.
Forget the dumb stuff. Just work the accent.
Yeah, okay. Meet some chicks.
And hey, like when I sniffed that, and I would like sniff it hard till I would get
right.
Dizzy.
Okay, but how about? Are you going to go to junior college?
I'm going to go to OCC. It's a community college in Orange County.
All right, listen. Don't waste your time there. Go to work. Get a job.
What?
Get a job. What do you want to do with your life?
I'm planning to go to OCC for about 2 years and then join the Army after that.
All right. Why don't you join the Army right now?
Oh, I can't.
You don't need that junior college.
Why not?
It's not going to do you any good. You're just going to waste 2 years and then you'll go join the Army.
Really?
Yeah, just join the Army.
Adam's educational campaign.
Get those glue sniffers some guns and put them to work. That's what I say. Jay McGraw is our guest tonight. He is the author of Life Strategy for Teens. Dr. Drew is over there in Chicago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Q101 Studios.
Right. They have brand new. Adam, they moved. They moved to the second floor of this merchandise mart, and they have beautiful new studios.
Beautiful facility. Beautiful people.
Boy.
Yeah. You can see Drew maybe on Oprah tomorrow, but that's why he's in Chicago. I don't know if it's going to air tomorrow. We'll take a little break. We'll be back with Drew and Jay after this.
Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. He is over in Chicago tonight. In studio is Jay McGraw. Jay is the author of Life Strategy for Teens. You've seen Jay's famous father on Oprah just about, seems like every day I turn on Oprah. And Jay's dad is there, Phil McGraw. And speaking of Oprah, Drew is going to be doing Oprah tomorrow. Yes, right. Drew?
Yes, Adam.
Fantabulous. All right, so we're going to hop back to the phones?
Sure.
Gina?
Yes?
You're 32?
Indeed.
What's up?
My menstrual cycle started becoming irregular after a couple months on Prozac, and I wanted to ask Drew if there was any correlation.
Irregular? Sure, all the antidepressant medicines can screw up your period. No doubt about it. Have you ever had irregular cycles before?
No.
Okay. What's the dose of Prozac you're on?
I started on 20 and then went to 40.
Did the periods become more irregular then? 40?
It's kind of hard to say because it was sort of like right as I was transitioning to the 40, that's when I noticed that it just started to go on for a really long time and it was thin and, you know.
Okay. All right. Well, that's not uncommon at all.
Because they didn't mention that as a potential side effect and I was just...
Yeah, it's not a typical thing, but it's not uncommon.
How's that Prozac treating you?
You know, I wasn't initially impressed with, you know, the effects. I was just like, oh, is this all it does? And then I kind of thought, okay, well, now this is helping more. You can focus on what you're doing and, you know, you can pay attention so that you can get done what you need to get done.
Out of curiosity, did a general doctor prescribe that for you or did a psychiatrist?
I don't know if he's a psychologist or a psychiatrist. I'm really not sure.
But it was a mental health professional.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, it would have been a psychiatrist, right?
Yeah, it has to be a psychiatrist.
Yeah, I suppose. Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
All right, okay, sweet pants.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck.
Good times. I'll try some of that Prozac.
Mike? Yeah, no kidding. Oh, my God. You ready?
What would it do?
Well, wouldn't make you be less hostile and aggressive.
Well,
stop the whining.
Hold on, Jack.
The irritability, Adam. The irritability. It's driving me insane.
Well, you get 2,000 miles away and your nuts get the size of Idaho. Wait till you get back in the studio and I take you apart. Now, listen. You accuse me of having warts on my Pepe. Of course I'm going to lash out against you. Because
I have to side with Adam on that
yes,
one.
Yes, my penis are like my children.
Suspicious.
$100 out of that cheap half-Jew bastard, Drew. And he would have never paid me if there was anything on there that looked like a wart. Mike?
Yeah, hey.
You're 15. What's up?
Oh, well, I have a question. Well, like, first of all, Adam, you are, like, my god.
Thank you.
Scary.
He's just a man. He's not a god. He's just a man.
All right.
Love the sound effects. Wasn't the Living End supposed to be on there?
Tonight?
No, not tonight. One of those nights?
The Living End? No.
No?
Hi, this is Chris from The Living End, and you're listening to Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Don't touch that dial.
Yeah. 2 weeks ago?
Oh, I missed it. I was, like, talking to him at, after the show at the Fillmore.
Yeah.
And I missed it, I guess.
All right, buddy.
A little behind the times.
There you go. So, what's up?
Well, I have a girlfriend, right? And I really want to break up with her, but her dad's kind of creeps me out. Like, he bought me a present. I don't know why. I really, you know, I did the whole thing like, I can't accept this kind of thing. But,
And then you took it and ran?
Right.
Yeah, what was it?
Yeah, but I really, really don't want it. And, it was a lacrosse stick, you know? And, like, I want to break up with her.
Yeah.
Mm. How should I go about doing this? And, like, we had oral sex, and, she, like, said if I ever broke up with her, she'd spread a rumor around, like, school, like, I had a small crotch.
Very nice. Nice girl.
I'm wondering how I should go, like, about...
This is an Italian family.
And, Mike, it's always best to be very direct, very honest, and very swift.
You just
let her know that things have changed, and you don't want to date anymore, you don't want a girlfriend, whatever you're feeling.
Oh, then lay that BS down where you need some time to. You got to regroup. You want to reflect. You know, you're 15. You're not a kid anymore.
I need to think about this.
Right.
Well, yeah. Jay's the closest to all this. What do you say? What do you say to someone?
Well, I agree with you, Drew. You have to put your foot down and say, I'm not trying to be mean to you. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. But I'm not interested in this anymore. I'm out of here. I'll see you around. You have to realize that if she's bluffing to spread the rumor, it's most likely a bluff. Wouldn't you agree, Drew?
Yeah. Well, she's a vengeful person, and she's going to react however she reacts, but you don't want to stay in a relationship out of fear of her retribution. That's ridiculous. But also, people never do it like the way Jay's describing it. They always get into the BS that Adam's talking about, and then the other person goes, okay, would you like 2 weeks, 3 weeks? And then they become clingy, and they develop these elaborate ideas about how it's going to work out. And
you're right.
It's not fair. Not fair.
That's exactly right, and it's not fair to yourself either, because if you string her along and lay down the BS and everything, then she's going to be more mad at you when you finally do say, see you later, I'm out of here. And she's going to be more prone. You know, if she is going to spread rumors around you, she's going to spread more if you string her along and then 6 months from now tell her, see you later. So go ahead and do it. I mean, if that's what you want to do, you need to do that.
Do you have a small penis, Mike?
No. All right. Well, you know, I don't want to toot my own horn, but, you know.
Well, why when she can toot it? All right, Mike, good times. He's fine. Listen, kids, they bounce right back at that age.
And what are you going to do? Keep dating her for the next 50 years just because you're afraid she's going to tell everyone you got a small Johnson?
Or you're going to hurt her.
Dad bought him a lacrosse mallet. Stick. That's kind of bizarre. Mm-hmm. Kelly?
Yes?
You're 17. What's up?
Well, I got married when I was 16, and now I'm going through a divorce. I have a 14-month-old daughter, and I have a new boyfriend who is 21, and she calls him Daddy. Should I let that go on?
Hey, Kelly? Huh? Are you using a speakerphone?
No, I'm not. My phone's airy.
It's not the only thing in the room.
Are you right up on it?
Yeah.
Okay. Jesus Christ.
All right.
Married at 16, divorced at 17, 14-month-old, new boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the guy's 21.
Yes.
Okay, because you're lucky our line is bad. Otherwise, we'd really dig into what's going on here.
Well, here's the one question. How old were you, Kelly, when your dad left?
When my dad's still married to my mom.
Really?
Yes.
What? Doesn't fit.
Alcoholic?
No.
What happened? Something happened.
I went against my parents' wishes.
Did they physically abuse you in some way?
They didn't.
No? Nope. Well, maybe you're just...
I was raised very, very well.
All right, you're just a bad person. It happens. I'm proud of you. You're able to act for yourself.
Well, let's think, though,
this influence.
How do you think you would feel as a young, very young child to attach to someone as dad and then have him disappear?
She never had a chance to attach him.
No, but I'm talking about the boyfriend. I mean, think about that. If you're going to keep this guy around for 12 years, great. Let her call him dad. It's fantastic. But if he's not going to be around, you shouldn't even have introduced him to her.
That's
frankly.
Exactly right. You got to create some sort of a stable environment for the kid. And if stable is no man at all, then that's a whole lot better than some new guy every 2 weeks that she calls daddy. You got to create a stable environment. And once you know it's somebody that you may stick with, then you can introduce him.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Keep him away from her.
Even though he lives with me.
Oh, my God. Kelly, what happened?
Wait a minute. Make him stay on one end of the trailer. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, we dig at her a little bit. Something went on with her upbringing.
Okay.
No, I had a very, very good upbringing.
Where'd you have an eating disorder?
Huh?
Do you have an eating disorder?
No, I don't.
Older brothers?
I have two older brothers, an older sister, and a younger brother.
What are they all doing?
Oh, I haven't seen my sister since I was three, my oldest brother since I was one.
And, why?
They were out of state. My parents.
Why?
My dad was married before he married my mom and got a divorce. My oldest brother and my sister are half brothers and sisters.
All right, so it's starting to look a little less rosy, right?
Right.
I mean, it's coming into focus a little more as far as dad goes, right?
Uh-huh.
What did your dad do for a living?
He's a carpenter.
Aha! Oh, horrible, horrible people. Jesus was the only good one.
And was a carpenter.
The jury's still out on him, by the way. I heard
Rabbi Shmuley last night attacked him.
Yeah, said as a carpenter, said that he padded a lot of his estimates and gouged the elderly.
And they got records on that.
That's right.
Unacceptable.
We've got this new revelation. We just found a tomb full of old documents.
That's right. Turns out he charged time and a half for all his laborers when he wasn't paying them OT. All right. Hey, Kelly.
Uh-huh.
All right. Baby, well, you know, they do live in Idaho, so that may just explain everything.
Nothing else to do.
What does this guy do, this 21-year-old guy?
He works for my dad, actually.
No. He's a carpenter, right?
Yeah.
He's not a roofer, is he?
They do roofing.
Oh, baby.
Roofing tile.
Okay. So bad, baby.
Laminate.
Okay. Here's what laminate work?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. He does countertops and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Good times. I've done a lot of that. Look.
Yeah, that speaks for itself, Adam.
I'll give you some advice and we're going to hang up on you.
Okay.
Do not get pregnant again. Do you hear me?
I'm not going to.
Yeah, I'm sure it was planned the first time.
You
more planned than
use protection, okay?
Yes.
And
what are you using?
Birth control foam, morning after pill.
No.
Kelly?
Real big planner, are you?
Huh?
Real big into the planning, are you?
Jesus Christ.
Kelly, morning after pill is an emergency measure. It's not meant to be contraception. Get on the pill, for God's sake.
I use the pill, foam, and the morning after pill.
Well, if you're on the pill, you can't use the morning after pill, okay?
Okay.
All right. You're on the birth control pill. Take one every day?
Yes.
All right. You take care of that kid, and if the guy's a good guy, he gets to stay in the trailer, all right?
Okay.
All right, and for Christmas, if he's still around, you get him a laminate trimmer. It's a very small router. High RPMs, works nice for laminate work, okay?
Okay.
Doesn't have to use the big half horsepower job. All right, baby. Good times. I'll tell you, I know that laminate work, Drew, if you have any questions.
Oh, I do.
Any questions tonight about laminate work? I can answer them. Radius laminate work, vertical, countertop, I do it all.
You don't do the rock stuff, do you?
What? The Corian?
Or the granite?
Well, no, that's not laminate work. Why do you have to remind me?
You said table. You said tops.
I know, but I'm talking about doing laminate for countertops.
All right. All right.
Jay McGraw is our guest tonight. He is the author of Life Strategies for Teens. Dr. Drew's over there in Chicago. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back.
Love Line. 1-800-LOVE-191.
We'll be right back.
everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew is in Chicago tonight because he is doing Oprah tomorrow, which is quite a coup. Congratulations, Drew.
Whoa. Is that Adam?
Yes, it was. Yes, oh, my God. That's a big deal.
Oh, thank you.
But
even though you said it would, you told me that the set on that day would happen to look like the album cover of the, what was it, Sgt. Pepper Beatles album.
Drew, you really know how to deliver a punchline, buddy.
Yeah, not nice.
That was magic. Save some of that magic for the show tomorrow.
No, I will.
Yes, there will be at least as many people up on stage as there are in the audience tomorrow, if I know Drew's career. But, Drew, if you are on that stage with anything less than 10 people,
you'll be impressed.
I say kudos to Drew. Jay McGraw is our guest tonight. He's the author of Life Strategies for Teens. And speaking of Oprah, and how did your dad, and by the way, Phil McGraw, Jay's dad, was in here tonight, Drew.
Stop
by momentarily. The guys went to a Lakers game tonight.
Oh, my God. You go to that game?
Yeah. Too bad they lost.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad they lost.
Yeah, it was a good game.
Great game.
I like to see a good series, and I figure this is the only way it's going to be a good series. I figure they could get down 0-2, the Lakers, that is, and it would still then be a great series.
Yeah, I hate to end the streak, though, the winning streak.
Yeah, yeah. And you got to figure, you weren't in any of those games where they won, were you?
No, this is the first game I've been to.
Right, so what I'm saying is you show up at a game.
I know.
And they lose.
I'm not going back.
You got to figure that's more than a coincidence.
Yeah. Gee, I'm so proud.
How did your father, Phil, and I'm sure you've been asked this 1,000 times, but I don't know what the answer is, get connected with Oprah and get on that show?
Well, my dad has a litigation company in Dallas that we do work for big trials. When somebody's getting sued, they say, I want to practice this before I go in. I want to see what's going to happen. And so that's how they got introduced. Oprah, I don't know if you remember, she got sued for Mad Cow. Yeah,
right.
In Amarillo. And so she and my dad got hooked up there and got to know each other real well. And she said, you know, you've helped me a lot going into this. Write some of this down so people can understand what's going on, how to take advantage of their life. And so he wrote the original Life Strategies, which is based on these 10 life laws that basically dictate what's going on in your life. And I translated that into Life Strategies for Teens. But anyhow, he went on the show talking about that, and it stuck. And so he's been doing it. Jesus, like 4 years now, and he's on every Tuesday. So
it really feels like he's on more than that, because every time I turn that goddamn Oprah on,
there's the bald man chewing someone out.
There is Sheriff Phil, chewing on someone's ear. Georgiana?
Yeah.
You're 22?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
Okay, first of all, Dr. Drew, you are very sexy. And
Drew.
Adam, you're cool.
Ow!
Okay, every time a few days after I get done having sex, I have extremely sharp pains in my vagina and my right nipple all the time.
Hmm. Interesting.
And, I mean, it's so sharp that, like, I can't even move for a few seconds.
Hmm.
Well, the vagina, I think we can explain, but what about the right nipple? Is your boyfriend left-handed? Is he twisting on you?
Well, and, you know, it occurs sometimes when I don't have sex, you know, sometimes, but most of the time it occurs a few days after I have sex.
You know what's interesting is that women release a hormone, men do too, but women react to it differently, called oxytocin, that causes contraction of the uterus and of the nipples, of the breast. When a woman has just had a child and she feels, hears a baby cry, her uterus will contract, the milk will drop or actually leak out. And sex tends to initiate that same kind of a biological reaction. So I wonder if that's some sort of delayed response to that same hormone you're having. Huh?
Yeah, well, how does she know?
I guess what I'm asking is, does it happen to reaction to anything else? Do you ever have any other circumstance where you get that same kind of reaction?
Sometimes I'll just be sitting down, and I'll get this extreme sharp pain through my vagina and my right nipple.
Hmm. I'd have that looked at if I were you.
Yeah. But I don't know what they're going to look at or look for. I mean...
Are your pelvic exams have been normal otherwise?
Yeah, they have.
You're on no medication?
No. Well, I was on Depakote for a while, and then.
Oh, were you taking? Were you taking any major tranquilizers when this was happening?
Is Seroquel major?
Yes.
Well,
there you go.
I was taking that for a while, but then I haven't taken that for like a year.
Well, those kinds of medicines, not so much Seroquel, but some of the ones like the stronger ones will typically cause stuff like this.
What's that Seroquel for?
She's
for
bipolar.
Voice.
Are you bipolar?
No. No.
What was the Depakote for?
The doctor said schizoaffective.
Schizoaffective. Okay.
Like that. Yeah.
Okay. All right. You got that under control now?
Yeah, I'm in therapy.
All right.
Good.
Well, listen, I mean, like, women are a little nutty anyway.
She doesn't sound schizoaffective.
No, she really doesn't. Yeah, good therapist. Maybe she's seeing Dr. Phil.
Let's talk to the other personality. Maybe that one does.
Yeah, that'll probably be nuttier. Maria?
Yeah.
You're 26?
Yes.
So we didn't help that last caller at all.
Well, Jay said get looked into. I agree with that.
Maria, what's up?
We had talked about a threesome before, me and my boyfriend. Mm-hmm. Actually, ex-boyfriend now, but...
Whose idea was it?
Mine. Well...
Really?
Both, really. He had always asked, you know, what would you do, and I would go for it, and...
Yeah, he's been pressuring. How long did he pressure you for?
Huh?
What do you mean it was your idea? He's constantly bringing it up, right?
Not him, always, because he would, like, look at a chick or something, and I'd be like, yeah, she's fine, you know, she's pretty, she's got a good, you know, she's nice.
You would say that without him prompting you?
Yeah.
He would say that.
He would look, and he would say, well, what about that one?
Yeah, okay, that's
you know, that's him. That's him initiating it.
Well, I guess, but I would bring it up once
okay.
in a while.
Well, you're open to it. Yes. Well, anyway, what happened?
Well, one day it did happen. I mean, me and my girlfriend got together, and him. And the only thing I was against was that he can do anything, she can do anything. The only thing I didn't want was intercourse.
Right.
Between him and her.
Right.
And that's what he did.
Yeah, shocking.
Big surprise there.
How dare he?
I couldn't have predicted that in a million years.
Yeah. So, what's your question? Well, hold on a second. You guys had agreed on that before you had the threesome, right?
Yes.
And where were you when he began the intercourse?
His face.
Yeah, I don't know. How come you didn't chime in?
Thanks.
Before his face.
I was
place.
There.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I was doing my thing.
Right.
Tell him not to do that?
I'm hip to the part where you were in the room. What I'm asking is, why didn't you say anything at that point?
We had talked about that previously. I mean.
Yeah, but when he started doing this, why didn't you speak up?
Hey, Drew.
Yeah.
Hey, Jay.
Yeah.
Are there any dumber callers on any radio show? The challenge has been out there for almost 5 years now. I defy anybody else who hosts a show nationally or on the local level to produce evidence that your callers are dumber than our callers, because I say they don't exist.
The newest contest on radio.
Yes. She was in the room. I understand. You talked about it in advance. Now I'm going to get back to the question one more time, Maria. When it actually went down, why didn't you chime in?
He's 28.
We didn't ask for your life history.
Well, my answer is... He's not a little kid, and there's no need to be repeating something, you know.
All right, so you were uncomfortable bringing it up. You're angry that he did it in the first place, and you probably signed out of the relationship at that point anyway, right?
Well, yeah. I guess.
All right, so you guys broke up then after that?
Yeah, well, kind of. I stopped talking to him, and he's been calling me back.
Okay. Real relationships never survive threesomes. They never do. It'd be great if they did, but they don't.
So now what's the question?
Great if they did.
That's my point. Fivesomes, what's wrong with that? What the hell? What is in an abstract sense wrong with that, except that it's incredibly unhealthy for people, and it destroys their relationships. Well, so you shouldn't do it.
Drew, don't you? Am I right by saying that the reason that she does this, or that other people do this, and even go to the level that the reason she says, she's pretty, and yeah, she's pretty hot, is the fact that she's afraid he's going to leave her if he doesn't, if she doesn't cave in?
Or
now I'm wondering, am I attracted to chicks? Because now I'm like, wondering and like masturbate over chicks.
All right. Well, you're confused.
No, yeah. I don't think so because.
No, really?
Really? I mean, it's been in my mind for
okay.
a long time.
Well.
This is the only time that we worked together.
Okay, but Maria, you enjoyed yourself with your friend, sexually.
Yeah.
You're near. Okay, that. Just shut up. You're now without a man, right? You're single.
Yeah.
You're on your own. Mm-hmm. Do you have any kids?
Yes.
Oh, baby.
Oh, come on.
But she doesn't know anything.
Yeah, she doesn't know anything except for her mom's a crazy half lesbian.
No, because she's not involved with any of my friends.
How old is your daughter?
She's 4.
All right, no more kids, right, Screwball?
No.
Okay, now you're single, you're on your own.
She hasn't even met this guy.
Quiet down. Maybe you're into women, maybe you're not. Take some time, step back, evaluate. If you're into women, you're into women. That's fine. Jesus Christ, you imagine having that for a mom, though?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I mean, I know we're running late for break, but as a what you want in a parent is security and strength. And to have
stability.
Someone whose head is spinning like a dreidel, not knowing which set of genitalia to hump next, it's got to be unnerving to a young person. Jay McGraw is our guest tonight. He is the author of Life Strategies for Teens. We'll be right back.
Loveline will be right back, so get your problems ready.
It's Loveline, everybody. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over in Chicago. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jay McGraw is our guest tonight. He's been on the show before. He's the author of Life Strategy for Teens. Of course, his father's Phil McGraw, who you see on Oprah. Seems like every day, but I'm told just once a week. And speaking of Oprah, that's why Drew is in Chicago. So we'll be doing that tomorrow. And you'll be reporting back to us. Well, you'll be in here tomorrow night, right, Drew?
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell us how it went and when it's going to air and all that good stuff, right?
Where you can see me on that crowd on the album cover, yeah.
That's right. All right, Christian, you're 16. Hey, Drew.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, why don't you wear like a big purple fedora or wind-up beanie or something so we can pick you out.
Really stick out in the lineup.
Yeah, maybe to find you on stage.
As you mentioned, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir is likely to be there with me, and they may have a dress code.
They may be in front of you, so I'm saying wear something high. Wear like a top hat or something.
That'd be good.
Okay, yeah. Oh, top hat's good.
I like the feather idea, though. You know, have just something purple. With a big feather sticking out.
Right, nice. We could see him. Hey, there's Drew's feather in the back.
Wiggle your feather, Drew.
He's behind the baritones. Christian?
What's up?
What's up?
How you guys doing?
Good. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Good.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's your question?
I'm a lesbian, and when me and my...
Congratulations.
Well, it's relevant to the story.
All right.
When me and my girlfriend have sex, she bleeds during sex.
Mm-hmm.
Not every time, but...
Do you take
out the vagina?
Yeah.
Do you take your retainer out?
Yes, I do.
Yes, you do. All right.
Some women will bleed in response to sexual stimulus.
They will? And
yeah, that's
it's
just
a natural
normal.
Thing.
How old is your girlfriend?
15.
Ooh.
Whoa.
And do your parents know you're a lesbian?
Yeah.
Do her parents know she's a lesbian?
Yeah.
And they're okay? Everything's cool?
Yeah, everything's all right.
Oh, yeah?
My biological dad doesn't accept it. Too terribly much, but my mom's really accepting of it, so.
Where's your biological dad?
Well, actually, I just got kicked out of his house, and I'm going back to live with my mom, so.
Okay. Well, a little payback for dad, huh?
Yeah. Something like that.
Was he a bad dad?
He was back when I was a child, but.
What did he do?
He was just really abusive to my mom and did it in front of me, stuff like
nice.
That.
Nice.
And he doesn't like lesbians, huh?
I guess not.
All right. Well, good. And you told him, right?
Yeah.
Of course.
Very, very important.
Of course.
Why'd you tell him, by the way, if you knew he was going to, you know, be bad about it?
Well, because it's part of me, you know?
Right.
Yeah, there are things that are part of Adam that he couldn't tell his parents until he was 40, 35.
I understand that, and I accept it.
I do.
All right.
All right,
baby. That's should she get a pelvic exam? This 15-year-old?
Definitely, she should. Yeah, it means the line of the uterus is sort of unstable, and there's various things that can contribute to that, but it's not necessarily abnormal.
Christian, what about the kids at school? Do they know?
Yeah, we're very out at school.
Yeah,
it's and something I'm proud of. So, well, not so much proud.
Right.
But I accept it. And
do you go to a public school?
Yeah.
And people okay? They don't make fun of you?
Well, I kind of live in a hick town, so we have a lot of closed minds.
I see.
Have you always done stuff that makes your dad mad, your biological father mad?
Oh, yeah. He never accepted it.
Have you always done stuff? I mean, have you drugs, drink, skip school? Have you always done something that's making your dad mad?
Pretty much. He's pretty fed up with me.
Okay.
So now you've turned to lesbianism?
Well.
I didn't really turn to it. I just realized it.
Oh, okay. All right, Chris.
Cool.
All right.
Take care of yourself, baby.
Thanks for taking my call.
Good times.
Yeah. I'm not so convinced that it has much, that the lesbian choice is so much to do with dad, but the thing that always is an F you to dad is they have to announce it at Thanksgiving.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you wonder, you do have to believe, and I don't want to take anything away from our vast lesbian listenership, but you do have to believe that a lot of people. Okay, let's put it this way. Kristen, who just called, if she loved her dad very much,
right,
I believe she would still be a lesbian, but I believe she would be confused at age 16 and would probably stumble onto it more in her first or second year of college.
I would think so.
Because Pops put the screws to her early, she just made the, she declared a major earlier.
That's
and
right.
And now then has some good ammunition to tell him and make him pay. And I have said this many times. Listen up, all dads and future dads. You have a daughter. You abuse mama or abuse daughter or don't pay attention to her, she will pay you back. Maybe she's a lesbian. Maybe she does a little porno. Maybe she works at the strip club across the street from your work. Do not worry. You will pay.
And, you know, I have to say that I'm sure Christian didn't choose the most the best way of presenting this to her dad, such that he wouldn't get mad. I mean, Drew, I think you're right. She called a family meeting at Thanksgiving and announced it with dad standing there next to her. And,
right.
Oh, yeah.
But why? But, you know, we always make fun of the caller, but or Kristen, but why not? Dad deserved it, and he got what was coming.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It was
yeah.
15 years in the making.
And I'm sure she realizes, though, it's not always what you say, but how you say it. And
yeah, and now she's out of the house. Surprise, surprise. All right, Drew?
Yep.
Lisa?
Yes?
You're 19. What's up?
I've been having this problem. I'm in this catastrophic situation. I ran into this guy at the last place I worked at. I actually worked at a restaurant. And, you know, he came in and I kind of thought he was a pervert. Everybody kind of thought he was a pervert. You know, he'd stare at their chest, he'd stare at their ass.
Okay, wait a minute. He worked there or he just came in as a customer?
He came in as a customer.
Uh-huh.
All right.
And so you'd see him regularly?
Right.
Right.
Okay.
I felt kind of bad for him because he was trying to befriend me.
Mm-hmm.
And, so we started hanging out.
Oh, boy.
Kind of a lapse in time here. 6 months later, we got an apartment together because I was in a situation again.
Right.
Who were you living with at the time?
I was living with a friend's parents.
You're not on a speakerphone, are you, Lisa?
No, I'm not.
Why are all our connections bad tonight?
No.
Is that the full moon?
I'm outside the apartment complex, so he doesn't hear me.
Okay. And now he's your roommate.
Oh, you live with him now.
Yes, I do.
Right. He's your roommate, your platonic roommate.
Right.
And you've never had anything physical with
him? Absolutely not.
All right. And what's he doing now?
He's spying on me. I'll get out of the bathroom. He'll be around there. I'll wake up in the morning. He'll be standing over my bed.
Yeah, I'd stop. I'd hang up, go pack your bags, and leave.
Immediately. Immediately.
Well, I need to know some options here because I'm in a financial situation. I have no support.
Right.
Who were you living with before?
I'm sorry?
Who were you living with before you moved in with him?
A friend's parents.
Move back in with them.
That's a pretty bad living situation, too.
Where are your parents?
Well, I had a dysfunctional family, and I can't go back there. It's just too emotionally stressful.
Okay, do you have any friends?
Yes, I do.
is there any way you can crash out at one of their places for a little while until you get your, you know, stuff in order?
Yes, it is possible. I was just trying to get around that because, you know, I'm situated here. I have a job here. I'm signed up for school next semester.
Right,
it's
but
a big problem.
Do you have any friends in town?
I do, and if they knew the severity of the situation, I could possibly move in with them.
Yeah. Well, why don't you?
You don't have to move in with them either. Just go stay with them until you get another option.
Yeah, why don't you alert them to how severe the situation
is?
Yeah,
go ahead and tell someone, all right?
Okay.
And meanwhile, whose name is on the lease that you guys...
His
name.
Right.
And what's he do, the roommate?
Actually, he works at a gas station.
Fantabulous.
Oh,
does he seem dangerous or is he just creepy?
I'm sorry?
Is he creepy or dangerous?
He's both. Actually, I've been trying to get a hold of you guys for quite a while. You guys tend to get these people that don't even really have a bad problem. I mean, it's not even a problem. It's just, let's get on Loveline so we can be heard. You know what I mean? And I have a problem. And
well, Lisa, let me ask you, what's worse, telling your friends about the situation or him doing something to you while you're asleep tonight? No, honestly, what's the worst? What's worse?
Well, obviously, yeah.
Okay,
so leave.
Lisa, you have friends, and you wouldn't tell them what's going on, but you'd call a radio station, one that you can't even get through to, by the way?
No, it's ridiculous, because I've told people, but I don't think they're taking it flippantly. Like, it's not a big deal.
Okay.
Like, it's really not a problem.
Well, you may not be presenting it quite the right way.
Uh-huh.
But how long have you been living with him?
About 6 months.
And is it been getting worse?
Progressively worse. It's been...
Okay.
At first, it was like a normal situation.
Right. Okay.
Have you said anything to him about it?
I'm sorry?
Have you said something to him about it?
No way. No way.
You don't think he could process that?
I think he's got some mental issues himself.
Okay. But he's not displayed any signs of violence or anything like that.
Well, jealousy. I mean, I'll talk on the phone. I've had, like, 3 boyfriends in the duration of the 6 months, and I'll be talking on the phone. He'll get pissed off. He'll slam doors. He'll go, he'll scoff.
Okay.
So,
Lisa, do you have a lock on your bedroom door?
No, I don't. That's the problem.
Why don't you put one on?
Well, yeah.
I'm paying $200 for rent. He's paying.
Why didn't you put a lock on your door? Allison, why didn't you put a lock on your door?
Lisa.
Because I don't have a room. I'm sleeping in the living room.
I see.
Better.
I kind of set myself up for...
Okay. Okay, so what you need to do, the good news is his name's on the lease.
Uh-huh.
You need to not confront him alone.
Mm-hmm.
And probably do it over the phone. When he goes off to work tomorrow, you need to pack up your crap. You need to talk to one of your friends that you work with or somebody else in town. Tell them you need to crash out on their sofa for a week or two until you can get up on your feet and slip out of there like a thief in the night, except for it's during the day. I just coined a phrase. All right?
Okay.
All right. He goes to work tomorrow. You pack up your crap tomorrow, and you drop it off at a friend's house.
Well, technically not tomorrow, but the day after, yeah, because he doesn't work tomorrow.
Okay, but whatever it is, you make your friend aware of the gravity of the situation.
And Adam's right. Don't confront him by yourself because you've let it get too far. I mean, had you stopped it in the beginning and said, look, this is unacceptable.
Right.
Get the hell away from me. I'm coming out of the bathroom or I'm going to sleep or whatever and leave me alone. Then that's a different situation. But now that it's escalated, you need to not confront him. You need to get out of there and do something different.
Yeah, and do it via the telephone or maybe not at all. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right, Drew, what are you distracted with over there?
Nothing.
All right, buddy. That's just it.
Well, that whole call was sort of distracting.
Kind of creepy?
I was bothered by the way she was handling it more than anything.
Well, yeah. She'd obviously been victimized in the past
by
her dysfunctional family.
Oh, boy.
And she hooked up with a guy who was a little unstable, and she felt sympathy for him, where most of us would have just walked on the other side of the street. She took the guy in and struck up a relationship with him.
She not only befriended him, but moved in with him.
Right.
But then she's so paralyzed she couldn't even think of a plan of how to deal with this. She had to call us. She didn't It even occurred to her.
Yeah,
but
she could. Yeah. Listen,
she wasn't even clear she should move out.
Yeah, but if you got drunken stepdad beating on you your whole life,
that's
where your head is at.
There you go. Yeah,
Jude.
Yeah,
you're 19. What's up?
First, just let me say, Adam, Dr. Drew, you guys are kind of my heroes. Jay, my dad reads your dad's books.
Oh, good for your dad.
Anyway, here's the deal. All right, I went out with this girl for like a year and a half. She went off to college. We still went out a little bit, then broke it off, right? Year passes by. She's back in town. We get back together, right? Fire reignited, all that good stuff. All right, so we didn't have sex when we went out the first time, and this time we're both a little more experienced, and we had sex one time, right, and this has just been like last week, and since the first time we had sex, of course I wanted to do it again, but my penis didn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, three times...
Is that right?
No, not all right. What about your balls? Where do they stand on this? Have you talked to your balls?
The balls have consulted the penis.
Yeah, they're angry.
What's going on?
Come on, man, get up. No.
Yeah.
No, not all right.
Not all right. I cannot.
Yeah.
No mango for you.
Exactly, but it's like...
Exactly.
It'll be erect for, like, all the foreplay and all the stuff, and then right... Like, the moment, I, kid you not, the seconds before, it's going to, make its way in.
How many times has this happened?
Fright.
Yeah, how many times has this happened?
It's happened three times.
With her?
Are you freaking out about it happening each time you get together with her?
I try not to, but of course.
But you're thinking about it. Yeah, you're thinking about it.
Of course, it's not something you forget.
Exactly.
Right, now, is this happened?
The balls won't let me forget it.
Has this happened with anyone else?
No, never. It's never happened, ever.
Have you had many experiences with other women?
But mostly with her. But, I mean, I had with a couple girls.
Whoa, wait a second, though. I'm going to get a little clarity here.
Yeah.
You hadn't slept with her the first time you guys had a relationship.
Yeah.
When you were how old?
17, 18.
You'd been with her for some time, and you didn't sleep with her.
Right. I was being a good Christian boy.
Right, and you were a little worried about your penis.
Oh, well.
Too. And then you guys broke up, and you'd slept with how many people in that period of time?
Just a couple.
Just a couple. So you don't have a vast amount of sexual experience.
No, not at all.
And so then you hooked up with this girl, and it worked the first time.
It worked, yeah, nicely.
And then you realized maybe you were falling in love, and then the penis sort of crapped out on you the second, third, fourth, and fifth time, right?
Well, I don't know.
Okay.
Either that or, because she had been, like, with however many guys.
Oh. You were a little intimidated.
Hiatus. And, because we, like, talked about it. And,
yeah.
Oh.
Always a bad plan. Always.
That makes the penis go away.
Yeah.
Performance anxiety or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, it's performance anxiety based on, and probably some guilt and some anger, too, right? You're kind of angry that she did all this. You were already mentioned that you sort of were trying to be a good religious, that you had some religious beliefs about being sexually active, and that can create some guilt. And then, lo and behold, you didn't measure up. And now you go into each battle worrying about possibly having this happen again. Of course, that makes it happen.
Okay, so Jude, now you can masturbate, no problem. There's no problem with the plumbing.
No, not at all.
No medicine, no medication.
Nope.
Okay. Right. You just need to be honest with her and sort of take the pressure off yourself and your uncooperative penis.
She'll be Pleasantly, what's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know.
Flattered. She'll be flattered.
I don't think she will be.
Yeah, sure. If he says, I'm so into this, it makes me anxious. It's too overwhelming. I'm really having feelings that are so overwhelming. It's almost too much for me.
What? I already did that, and then it happened again.
Okay. But
I'm a long time listener, so I kind of knew how to go about it, right?
Right. But she what was her reaction when he told her that stuff?
She was just like, okay, well.
And what did you say? Did you say, like, I know that you slept with the entire campus while you were gone, and I'm having a little problem living up to that? Or was it, I'm having a little anxiety.
I care about you so much, yeah.
Yeah, it was more the second one.
Really. Okay.
All right, well, that's all right.
Hey,
well,
so,
that way, how did she react? Did she say, hey, that's okay, well, I'll get it up?
Well, no, she was like, well, yeah, I understand. Just if there's anything I can do to, just tell me what I can do.
Well,
but did she say
about
it
a BJ?
Yeah. The way you're saying it sounds like she was, like, devastated. Like, oh, it's all right.
No. You were just reading that. Look, he's having some difficulties. They'll work it out. He's young. He's never had that break-in girl that we always talk about. Drew?
Yeah.
Are you listening, buddy?
I'm listening to you.
Yeah, that's your time to go, oh, yes, you're right, Mr. Corolla.
You're always right, Mr. Corolla. Jay, do you know what a break-in girl is?
I'm sorry, I've missed that one.
Go ahead. I'll tell Jay what a break-in girl is.
Guys need this, because let's face it, we need to perform sexually, whereas women need to just be there. Drew, what are you getting into?
That's your magic,
hon.
Altoids.
All right. And guys, if they hop from girl to girl to girl and one night stand and one night stand and one night stand, they never find that one girl that they really work it out with. Okay. Build their confidence, try all the positions. You know that thing where you both walk around nude during the day in the apartment, that girl? If you don't have that girl, if it's all a bunch of, you know, you just finished off a sixer of Mickey's and you're having some sort of drunken conquest in some guy's car, you never quite work that out. And Jude has not worked that out. And he's a little behind at 19, although not everyone has at 19. So this might be his girl. He just has to get over the hump, pardon the pun. Just take it slow and work it out.
An extensive run in the minor leagues to work out his game.
Then get to the show. Drew, who do you got there?
You ready to take a break? You want to do this?
True. You got to pee or eat or what's
no,
going
no,
on?
No, because the one I'm going to take is going to take some time here. So go ahead.
Well, all right. Now I have to pay. Yeah. Laura?
Yeah.
You're 25?
Uh-huh.
You're saying your question or comment is upset on how we brush off real life crises?
Yeah, I guess that sums it up.
What is it?
I don't know. I love your show. I listen to it a lot. I think that you do a great service, but I feel like when people call in with really serious issues, I always am expecting that Dr. Drew or somebody will say, you know, let's put you on a hold. I'll have an assistant give you a list of phone numbers you can call.
Right.
Or things like that. I'm rather concerned at this point for the woman who just called in.
Yeah, me too.
I feel like she wasn't really given much advice except sort of like, well, you know, I feel like you sort of treated her like
her. Tell us what we told her.
Well, I think you said, you know, get a lock on the door. Well, it sounds like she can't afford a lock.
That's not what we told her.
Then she said she didn't. She slept in the living room.
I'm saying is it sounds like she's in an emergency.
Then what did we tell her?
There's not really time to discuss it. She needs to get with some sort of, you know, emergency number, something to call. There must be some, like, relief agencies.
Why use an emergency number and a relief agency when she can just go over to her friend's house with her suitcase until she finds a new roommate who's somewhat normal and can live there safely.
What's going on is that nobody's really taking it seriously, and the problem is stuff like this. That's how it evolves. Is that nobody quite takes it seriously until, you know, there's a body or a rape or whatever.
Well, what happened to you? Hold on a second, Laura, because nobody calls this show with a problem with our advice unless something horrible happened to them, and then it just becomes a big cathartic experience, because we spent 6.5 to 7 minutes on that call, which is 3 times as long as we should on any call.
And gave her a plan that she was excited about or that she
told her to get out. Get out immediately. Immediately. Whatever you have to do, get out.
No, but listen, we didn't tell her to call the cops, but the cops aren't going to do anything. I mean, the cops are going to show up in 3 hours and say,
what's the guy off that she's getting ready to pack her bags?
What's going on? Her other option is to leave tonight, but I don't know where she's going tonight. And the next option was let the guy go to work and leave tomorrow. That's what we told her to do. I mean, she's been under the guy's roof for 6 months without any incident.
That's right.
So it sounded like pretty safe that she'd make it for another 8 hours. We're going to take a break, then we'll get to the bottom of Laura after this.
Loveline will be right back, so get your problems ready.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. He's at our affiliate, one of our oldest affiliates, Q101 in Chicago tonight. There you go. I mean, they've been with us since the beginning, right, Drew?
Yeah, they were. They've been great.
What are you eating, buddy?
Altoid.
Buddy. Life Strategies for Teens is the name of the book. Jay McGraw is our guest tonight. Jay is, when were you on the show last, Jay?
It's been a couple months. Few months, something like that.
Well, it's good to have you back.
Well, Adam, it's good to see you.
It's good to be seen. Drew,
what's going on over there?
A little love affair.
I'm not pouring vinegar on his penis. I know that.
Let me tell you something about this Jay McGraw, Drew. He doesn't have the clinical experience that you do, but the kid, he's good looking and he's hungry. Okay. He reminds me of a young you, Drew. He really does. He reminds me of you when you were in your mid-20s. You had the eye of the tiger.
Before I lost the will to live?
That's right. That's right. Before your marriage. So things have been working out pretty good. We've done a little talking, a little soul searching.
Are we guys going to do a show together?
Nothing I want to talk about over the air. We'll just... Here's all I'm saying, Drew. When you come back tomorrow, we need to talk. Okay. We'll just
turn your keys.
Yeah. Is there anything worse than that part of life when someone tells you we need to talk, but it won't be now? Whether
yeah, it's like, gee, thanks. Could you not have just waited till it was time to talk?
Yes. I would have talked at the time you needed to talk. I didn't need to talk about talking in the future. It starts off with the parents, like where your dad would leave for work and he'd go, by the way, when I come back, we need to talk.
Yeah, that's right.
That's where it starts. And then it dovetails into relationships, which is, I can't talk now when you're talking to the girlfriend at work.
Right. Okay,
it's pretty crazy over here. We need to talk.
But we need to talk tonight.
That's bad. And then eventually it gets into the workplace where the boss says, I'm in the middle of something here, but swing by the office before you leave. Definitely don't leave without talking to me. And all you do is your guts just turn in knots for the whole day. So, Drew?
Yep.
We're going to need to talk tomorrow.
Okay? Oh, no. We have to talk tomorrow. Now.
No, we'll talk
tomorrow. Adam, what is it? I know you have something in your mind.
I think it could be good. It could be good for you, potentially. Okay?
Man, when you talk like that, man, I don't even know you.
Okay, buddy. Who do you got to talk to?
We're talking to Laura, remember?
Oh, that's right.
Oh, good.
Laura?
Yeah.
Yes, you're 25. So, Laura called, and she had some... constructive criticism of the show, and that's fine. And by the way, for my money, we don't take enough of these calls. Anybody has a problem with the show or something I said or something Drew didn't say, you can go ahead and call us up, and we're always free to have a little debate over the air.
You can rag on me for a while, too.
Call and chew Jay a new one, too.
That's right.
We, Laura didn't like the way we handled a call that we had a few calls back where the girl had a freaky roommate. We basically told her to pack up and leave, but we did not tell her to call the cops or leave that night. Didn't seem like a dangerous situation. We didn't want to agitate things, and I don't know realistically what phone number we could have given her. I mean, it's very convenient to say you should have given her some emergency number, but what emergency number comes over and scoops you up at 11:15 at night from your apartment when there's nothing going on in your apartment?
Exactly, because your roommate of 6 months has been a little weird lately.
Right. Okay, but Laura, more importantly, what happened to you that gives you the energy to call us about this?
obviously, child abuse, but also a friend I had, I'm from New Mexico, who had a very strange roommate who finally came after her in the shower with a knife.
Wow.
The use of her hand because she was trying to fend off the knife.
Right.
And this was someone she had roomed with. This was someone she knew, and she would tell people about it. I found this out because I was in New York and heard the story, or I probably would have gotten more involved. But people wouldn't believe her. They would not believe.
Now, Laura, you're actually a great person for us to talk to, because the most incredulous part about that call, I forget the caller's name, for me, Lisa, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Was what you're talking about now, which is that the way these women tolerate these incredibly bizarre, inappropriate, poor boundary roommates, and why they doesn't occur to them that they need to make a change or how to change it.
Well, that's unfortunately, this is what I'm calling in about. That's unfortunately the problem. Obviously, there is a dysfunctionality with the person or they wouldn't be attracting it.
But what is
that? What's happening is there is a certain point where all they're doing is asking for help, and right now we can't even discuss the logistics of what she needs to do to see the shrink or whatever. We just need to get her away. And my feeling was not so much that you gave her wrong advice, but, and I will fax it into you. You can call it Laura's List, a list of numbers that just really freaked out women or men too, because it happens to men too, can call at the last minute to at least, if nothing else, the police will generally not do anything until after the blood has been shed.
Sure.
There are organizations that can at least offer some advice, offer shelters.
Laura, you're right. And in fact, I've put a list of those numbers in my book because I agree with you. I think it's an important thing to do. But people have to realize that it's not always our fault, and I'm not passing blame out to people who are victims of horrible situations, but it's the same with parents whose children are rebelling. You know, they go do something, and the parent says, don't do that again, and the kid walks off, and they just stand there. You know, when somebody comes to you and says, I'm in a tough situation here and I feel like I'm in danger. If the person you tell that to walks off and that's the last person you got to talk to, it's now your responsibility to say, no, stop and wait and listen to me because I need to talk to someone because I am in danger and I got to do something about it. We can't pass the blame out.
Except that the kind of women who are involved in these situations do not have any self-esteem. They do not have any belief in themselves.
But Laura, tell me, what does that feel like? What is it? Help me comprehend what that place is. To be in, let's just take Lisa's situation, with this incredibly weird, intrusive, disturbing guy, and not think, I got to get out of here. What are you thinking?
Well,
I'm just very curious. I want to know more about how that person thinks.
From my standpoint, when you are abused, particularly sexually, which may not be the case with her, but when
probably
you're abused
is.
At a young age, which she probably was,
yeah.
you are not believed. You are not believed at all, so you learn not to tell anybody. Because if you tell anybody, they look at you like you're insane.
No. Listen, hold on. You're deflecting that. That is untrue. People don't believe you. I mean, we sit around.
I went through it personally.
Mom doesn't believe
it.
Look,
mom doesn't believe
it. That's your mom. That's your mom.
My mother took me to the hospital for a strange infection down below that, as near as I could tell, could only have been transmitted sexually. But she does not believe me.
That's your mom.
Let me tell you the problem here,
Laura. Everyone is not your mom.
Everyone becomes mom. That is not people. That is your screwed up family system, which caused the abuse in the first place.
People aren't believing her.
No.
That's what I'm saying. It's just...
No, she is not presenting it in the right way. It's not that they don't believe her. We
people don't, though, Adam. That's what I'm trying to say. And that's
yeah, why is
if
that?
You could just give her a list of people who know how to professionally handle that type of person and know how to, A, at least get her out of harm's way, a battered women's shelter, something, where she just has a place to park that's not, you know, that's outside of the system, and then we can deal with
it. It's got to be hard for her to talk about this, Adam. You're not going to get satisfaction, I don't think.
I'm satisfied with my page.
Drew, I think that part of the answer to your question, and I'm sure you know this, is that anytime somebody does something on a repetitive basis, that they do it over and over again, they have some reason for doing it. And
right.
if she's not telling someone about it, there's got to be a reason. And maybe it's that she feels like she won't be believed, or maybe she feels like there's going to be a danger to the situation. And those people that are in that situation have to ask themselves, what's the worst that could happen? If I tell someone and they don't believe me, they just don't believe me. If I don't tell someone and I'm injured or I'm abused, is that worse? And my opinion is yes.
All right. We have to move on. I do agree with Laura, though, that these people are not heard oftentimes.
Yeah.
John, I mean, but it's not because people don't believe them. It's because they don't have the ability because of their abuse.
You see what also happens, Adam. Laura, we're hearing her and getting alarmed about it. We're telling her to get the hell out of there right away. And what Laura hears is, you guys didn't hear her.
Right.
Exactly.
Nobody's going to hear that. Right. If your parents don't hear you, no one hears you. John? Right.
Hey, guys. Adam, the other night you were talking about Party Pals, and you talked about improv troops, and I'm involved in improv and on an improv team, so I wondered if you had a history with improv or any funny stories and stuff or whatever.
No, nothing funny ever happened. That's for goddamn sure. But, yeah, I started off in L.A. with the Groundlings, although I was booted out of that organization at a fairly young age, and that was not funny. And then I got up with a group called the Acme Theater, and I did that for a while. But, yeah, I wasn't really that good at it.
How many years did you do that?
I probably have 7-8 years of improvisational training under my belt.
Huh.
And it has never made a penny at it. But not a bad place to cut your teeth and, you know, build a foundation. John, you're 15. You're already getting involved with it. You're way ahead of the game.
All right. Thanks.
You got no problems. Good times, buddy. And remember, who, what, and where, and not only that.
But.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yep.
And we'll do a quick improv game. You ready?
Okay.
All right. I'm too tired. I can't do that.
All right.
Come on. I want to see it. We all want to hear it.
No, here's what I'm...
Senor Wences.
You can't do it over the radio. But here's what I'm saying to John about good improv. If some guy says, don't I know you from high school, you say, yes, and not only do I know you from high school, we were on the football team together. That's right. Yes, and. Don't do what all those other people did to me and what Drew does every night, which is, huh?
What are you talking about?
No. All right, buddy.
Are you kidding? No way.
Good times. Yeah, Drew's the greatest. I'll go. It's like that scene from Shining where Jack busted down the door with the axe, and I'll go, huh?
It's that.
Never heard of that movie.
It's that comedic timing coming through again.
Oh yeah, he's got it in spades. Chris,
yes,
you're 25.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I'm just trying to figure out how I can tell my best friend of 6 years that I have more feelings for him. You know. I love him, actually.
Mm-hmm. Is the friend gay?
No, actually, I think he's more straight because he does have a girlfriend.
I believe I'd keep that to myself.
Adam, speaking of timing here, well, this is more than we have time to do right at the moment.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, I want to get into this with him a bit.
No, I don't want to get into it that much. Chris, the guy's straight, right?
But hey, we have done things.
You fooled around with him?
Then he's not straight.
You've lured him over to the brown side? Interesting. Okay, well, hold on, Chris. Now we do have to get into this. What base have you gotten to with him?
Well, I've given him BJ's, and he's
then he's definitely not straight.
And he's held still, or what has he done to you?
Doggy style, I guess.
Oh, oh really?
Whoa!
Then he's definitely not straight. Oh.
So did he break your behymen? All right, Chris, hang on. Now we got something to get into. Hey, Drew?
Yeah.
Please, with the Altoids into the goddamn microphone. Please.
Come on.
We're going to break in 8 seconds. You can't? You got it? All right. We'll be back.
Hello? Is this Love Line?
Call 1-800-LOVE-191. Adam and Dr. Drew will be right back.
Hi, this is Mark from Blink-182, and you are listening to Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew on Loveline. I have a really big dick.
Yeah.
Mark.
Hey, Drew, what's happening there, buddy?
Dude.
Want to eat some more mints? Or you
are? Yeah, nah.
All right.
Should be out by now.
Jay McGraw is our guest tonight. Life Strategies for Teens is the name of his book. Is this thing a bestseller?
Yeah.
Is it on the New York bestseller list?
Yeah, it was for 3-4 months, but it's been out for a while now.
All right. So you can find it anywhere, right?
That's right. Bookstores.
They have books. Or,
Amazon.com.
All that good stuff. Chris?
Yes.
So let's get to the bottom of this, pardon the pun. 25 years old. You're in love with a friend of yours. This guy's been a friend of yours for some time.
You're gay.
Drew, please. No.
With what's been going on between you two, why has it just been a friendship?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm just kind of afraid that if I actually say that I love him, he'll get mad or...
But it sounds like you guys have been in sort of a romantic relationship or a love relationship for quite some time.
Well, it's more just a physical thing than an emotional thing. That's what I'm getting from it.
Now, he has a girlfriend, right?
Right.
And this guy's got to be a mess, though, right? He's a handful, this idiot. I mean, do you really want to get in with this guy? I mean, he's bi, he's confused, he's screwy.
I've had everybody, you know, leave me behind, and I don't want to do that to him.
What do you mean?
Well, I don't want to, like... leave him in the dust or, you know, abandon him.
Drew, what is going on over there? What are you doing over there, Drew?
What are you talking about?
What are you eating over there?
Mints.
Stop it. Stop rattling around back there, would you? Jesus. It's horribly distracting. I'm sorry, Chris. I'm so sorry for Drew's lack of respect. I was distracted. I couldn't hear. What's the problem? You've been married for 4 years. You have 2 children. You want to
now, so I don't. You mentioned everybody else leaving you behind. What does that mean?
Oh, but I don't want to abandon him. Like, you know.
Well, who abandoned you?
Well, basically everybody. I'm just all alone with me in this world, I guess.
Okay, what's up with you? I mean, you're very depressed, right, Chris?
Yeah.
Let's forget about this guy for a second. Let's talk about you. Do you work?
Yeah.
Do you like your job?
Yeah, it's a good job.
Yeah.
Okay. I got to say, got going for me.
Do you have friends?
No, I kind of just stay up in my room all day.
You have a roommate?
No.
Where do you live?
I got my own apartment.
And what's up? I mean, have you ever tried to treat your depression? Are you on any medications? You ever seen a therapist?
No, I've always heard, you know, everyone says, you know, they take the pills and you got to take them for the rest of their lives and stuff, and doesn't really cure anything, just helps it temporary.
How about consulting a therapist and, you know, getting out and living your life a little bit?
And by the way, nothing could be more further from the truth about what you're saying about depression.
And even if it is, it's better than sitting around depressed all the time,
misery,
up in your
room,
worried about everything in the world.
Listen, one out of five people die of depression. Okay, is that a better outcome than taking medication? They kill themselves.
Right.
One out of five of depressed people. And yes, indeed, 50% of people that have major depression will have a relapse, but treatment with antidepressants for 6 months will usually cause the depressions, often caused to go into remission.
Okay, so don't focus on this guy and his ass so much and get some help, get some therapy, and get the
hell
out there and join life.
I really wonder, he didn't describe really what the nature of his relationship was with this guy. I really wonder what this was, some sort of service agreement they had. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know this guy's a piece of work, though. I mean, the guy, he's lusting after.
Oh, absolutely.
And you don't have to, it's not like an extreme where you either, like, tell this guy you're in love with him and spend the rest of your life together, or completely abandon him.
Right. And he's under the fantasy that if this guy loved him back, everything would magically be better. It'd be better for 2 weeks, and then you'd climb back into that hole you call an apartment.
Together.
And you'd be depressed. Right. Christine?
Oh, hello?
Hello. You're 22. What's up?
Well, I have a year-and-a-half-year-old baby, and I know, you know, sex life is usually lacking immediately afterwards, but she's a year-and-a-half. And I have no libido. I have nothing. Even if I try to have sex when I'm not feeling anything, I can't.
Are you still breastfeeding?
Yes.
You are still breastfeeding?
Yes.
Are you on any medications at all?
Only Depo-Provera.
Well, Depo-Provera shuts your sex drive down like crazy.
So really?
That's probably what's doing it. That's the most common and the most disturbing side effect that people get from that medication, in my experience.
Are you married?
Yes.
Yeah, and is your husband freaking out?
Well, he's been pretty understanding, but, I mean, it's gone down to, like, once every couple of months.
Yeah.
And every time we attempt it, you know, either she wakes up or I physically can't, even if I'm, you know, interested and excited.
When you say she wakes up, you're talking about your vagina?
No, I mean Carrie, the
I
baby.
See. I was confused.
The baby. But, you know, we'll send her to the babysitters. And
right.
You know, so that we have the house all to ourselves, be all romantic, and have a nice evening. And
Who's we?
My husband and I.
Why don't you toss him a BJ every once in a while? You know what I mean? He's been a good guy.
Not really like that.
Oh my God, this guy should be sainted. What are you talking about?
Well, what do you mean?
I used to, but I really just kind of one of those things I kind of don't do anymore.
But, Kristen. Kristen, get off that Depo. Get off the Depo Provera. It's a great contraceptive, but not for you.
Yeah, obviously. Mm-hmm. You don't have sex.
I was told that it would only affect, like, a little bit.
Wonderful contraceptive.
No, it can be. Some women are completely shut down by it. Completely.
Yeah. Really? Well, listen, wait a minute. Why don't you give him a BJ every once in a while?
I just don't like it.
Oh, who cares,
suck it
though?
Up and do it. I mean,
I beg your pardon.
I'll jack him off sometimes once, you know, because I got to feel bad for the poor guy. But, I mean, you know, that's not sex.
Well, I understand. Are you angry with him for anything?
No.
He's been great about this whole thing?
Yeah, he's been really sweet about
Sainthood.
It.
Sainthood.
He hasn't touched me at all.
Yes.
Not in the slightest. He's been a real sweetheart.
Drew would have given you his famous strong arm technique by now, believe you me.
The full Nelson.
That's right. He's a passionate, passionate man. He can't go that long without some nookie. But wait a minute. He is how old?
22.
The guy's a young man. He's and sexually, boy, for a male, you may not be feeling it as a female at 22, but for a male, it's 22. I mean, Jay, how old are you?
21.
21. Oh. Jay was humping my leg during the last break. He's out of his mind over
it. He just thought he liked him.
Yeah, so don't worry. I'll plug the book.
Well, that's also the problem is, if I don't feel like it, that's one thing, but I know that he can't go a couple months.
Toss him a BJ every once in a while. For Christ's sake, you women on your in your big ivory towers over there. Well, I'm not in the mood. Well, I don't like it. Well, I'm not a prostitute. You know, look, You don't like it. Let's just substitute BJ for back rub. Your man is working two jobs. He's working hard. He's out in the sun. He comes home, his back's sore. You're plotzing around the house all day. Give him a little back rub. That's what it is. This guy deserves it. This guy's been very understanding. Jesus Christ. You know what? The problem with women is they're so attached to sex. You know, it's like if they're not in the right mood and they have sex, it makes them a prostitute. No, makes you a good wife. And I know we don't, you know, I'm not going to win any popularity contest for saying this, but the guy's been a great guy. Why not? Is it that big a deal? You've done it before.
Adam's soliciting for dates right now.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. We'll take a break. Drew?
Yeah.
You want to say hi to Carrie with the Tourette's and the OCD real fast?
Carrie?
Yeah?
Question?
Hi. Yeah. What's the difference between Tourette's and compulsive disorder?
Obsessive-compulsive disorder is... Tourette's is a very specific syndrome where people have sort of sounds and twitches and words sometimes they emit without any ability to screen them out or contain
blah,
them.
Blah, 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 blah.
Well, I think
like
I
that.
Saw one on the street. And there was like a Mexican nearby.
Well, that'll do like, it.
Whoa. Oh, Carrie, hey, my
thanks
God.
Thanks a lot, Carrie.
All right, but OCD is obsessive.
Screw her. All right,
we'll be back.
Hello, this is Radio. Loveline will be right back.
That is it with another fantabulous show. I'm going to thank Jay McGraw for coming in here.
I'm going to thank Adam Carolla for having me in here.
Life strategies for teens. Go out and get it. It is everywhere books are. And come back anytime, Jay.
I will do.
And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Came after her in the shower with a knife.
Uh-huh.
The use of her hand.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management,